Well, today we'll look at the book of 1 John. 1 John gives us a really good indication of a real test for our love. Love is one of the things that, boy, especially in the New Testament. In the New Testament, talking about the Gospels, it's called the Good News. And, you know, good news, we kind of take that lightly sometimes. We just use that as a descriptive term as for the Gospels and for who Jesus Christ was and for what he brought. And it's just called the Good News. No, it is good news. I mean, it is all good news. Everything that's in here, the whole New Testament is just focused on the evidences of Jesus's love, the evidence of God's love for us, and the love that is provided, the love demonstrated by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in our lives. The whole thing just demonstrates the love of God, his love for us. You know, God is not at enmity with us. We're not at enmity with him. He loves us. He wants to embrace us. We should be walking in the fullness of that love. And in 1 John chapter 3, it talks about that love. And as you go towards about the middle of 1 John chapter 3, it's talking about love and what love is like in action. But then it goes on in verse 18, 19, 20, and 21 to tell us about love and that there is a real test of the love. And there's love is the test, if you will, for faith. Now, we talk about faith all the time, and we talk about the, you know, the importance of faith and God moving through faith and how we've got to believe. Faith is believing for those things. We talked about this last week, the whole Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, and faith is believing for those things that you know already done in the spiritual realm that you can't see except through your spiritual eyes. You just have to know that it's true. You know, faith is believing for those things that you cannot even see. It's knowing with confidence that God is faithful. So we need to be able to walk in faith. Obviously, faith is a huge part of the Christian walk. And 1 John chapter 3 tells us there's a test for our faith, and that test is love. It's by the love that we have and by the love of Christ that operates in us and through us, and the amount of that love that we allow to move through us, that's the real test of where we're at in our faith. This is what it says in 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 18 and 19. It says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Then verse 19 says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." So he's saying, when it says, "and hereby we know," it's talking about love because it's referring to the verse before. "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." You see, the instruction that's given to us is the real test of where we're at in our faith is the amount of love that comes through us, the amount of Christ-like love that is demonstrated through us, that pours through us, that moves through us and touches other lives. "My little children, let us not love in word." What he's saying is we're not supposed to love just merely in the theory of love. You know, theoretically, I kind of understand what love is. In theory, I should be loving other people. In theory, I do kind of love my brother. Yeah, theoretically, but in reality, there's no demonstration of it. See, we talk about love all the time, and we talk about love in the Bible. And, you know, when we're in church, we hear the message that are given about love, and we know that it's true, and we know that we are supposed to have love for others. We know that's part of the package that we accepted as Christians. We acknowledge it, we understand it. But what the author here, what John is saying to us, is there's a real test to where your faith is, dependent upon the amount of love. You're not supposed to just love in theory. It's not just something you acknowledge that, yes, this is what I'm supposed to be. It is supposed to actually take place in your life. I mean, there's supposed to be tangible demonstrations of that love in your life. What are some of those tangible demonstrations? How do I do it beyond just theory and actually make it happen? How do I actually demonstrate that to others? Well, here's a really good thing. Here's a real great test right away. How many times have you been frustrated by somebody, or somebody made you angry, or somebody hurt your feelings? How many times has there been somebody that has actually caused you hurt or pain in your life? How many times has somebody tried to inflict some kind of damage to you, either at your job, at the workplace, maybe it's a family member? Okay, what's your response to those actions against you? You see, the flesh says, get even. The flesh says, justify self. The flesh says, we've got to make this right. We've got to prove ourselves. That's what the flesh says. But the true demonstration of Christ-like love is to love them and to make them, those that hurt you, those that are coming against you, those that are trying to afflict you, to truly love them and to care about their spiritual well-being. I think we've all had people in our lives that have gotten our goat, that have really aggravated us. So people that you would probably classify under that list of, that person is an enemy of my life. They are always at odds with me. We want to be mad at them. We want to get aggravated at them. We want to get even with them. And all those things tell me I'm not passing the test of faith. Because if I truly am walking in the faith of God, then truly my desire is for their goodness. And my wife and I have had this conversation numerous times, because there's always somebody that does something in your life. And there was just something recently in her life, or somebody was coming against her. And it was it was frustrating. And as a husband, it was difficult to watch, because you want to do something. You want to protect those that you love, those that are dear to you, those that are your treasure. You want to protect them. And so I was getting aggravated at this person too. And then we just both came to the realization, and I remember in the conversation saying, that person's not your enemy. Oh yes, they may be trying to hurt you, but they are not your enemy. Our battle's not against flesh and blood, but it's against the powers and the principalities. You see, there are people in the world that if they don't acknowledge, if they're not living in Jesus Christ, if they don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, you know what? They are merely pawns in their life. They don't know it. They don't realize it. But they're pawns, because they'll be used by the enemy. The enemy will use them because they have no allegiance. They are not lined up with Jesus Christ. You know, there's no middle road. If you are not lined up with Jesus, you're lined up with the enemy. You're either for me or against me. If you are not lined up with Jesus Christ, if you are not a believer, then you are in the camp of the enemy. And that means, as the chess master, he can move you and use you any way he wants, and he does. And you merely are pawns. Some of the greatest people in the world, some of the most brilliant people in the world who think they control their own lives, are nothing more than pawns. They don't see it. They may be geniuses. They don't see it. They may be the most powerful people that you know. They don't see it, and they don't realize it, and they think they have control. What they don't understand is they're being manipulated. They're being used. They are merely pawns used by the enemy to cause havoc, to bring pain, to bring difficulty and suffering into the lives of all people, but certainly in the lives of you and I as believers, because the enemy wants to get us off our game. The enemy wants to get our faith knocked loose. He wants to get our focus off of Jesus Christ and to get us to worry about things. How does he do that? He uses people. And we look at that person and we think that person is our enemy. That's not the case at all. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. And no matter what somebody may have done to you or how they may have hurt you, they are not your enemy. They are merely pawns being used by your enemy. And you know what? Satan delights when we throw our anger and our angst against that pawn, that person that he's been manipulating and using, instead of us taking action and authority against the true source, which is him. He loves to use others and deflect all that. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. One of the best ways is to find that person that is just difficult for you to love. Find that person that perhaps truly does not like you and truly wants to hurt you. Here's the real measure of love. Here's taking that love beyond just what you hear taught in church, beyond just mere theory that this is the way I probably should live my life. I understand that as a Christian, I'm supposed to love. Here's the way you take it beyond mere theory and apply it and make it a deed in your life. It's by loving that person. Oh, I can't do that. Loving that person that hates you and despises you and tries to bring harm to your life. I can't do that. Well, according to verse 19, because he's talking about love, and hereby, or in other words, through love, we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. The test of our faith is our love. Listen, if I realize that person that that appears to be my enemy, if I realize that they're not truly my enemy, it's the power of the deceiver behind them, that's where my enemy, that's who my enemy is. That person is being used as a pawn. That person is just merely a tool of the adversary to inflict difficulty upon your life and to try to get your focus off of the things of the Lord. and onto anger and onto bitterness and onto all those kinds of things which are unproductive to you and takes you away from the things of God, takes you away from love. If Satan can take you away from acting in love, he can take you away from having a strong faith. The test of faith is love. According to these verses, the test of faith is love. The test of your belief in God, the test of your trust in him, is the love that you demonstrate. Listen, if you truly trust God, if you truly rely upon him, then it doesn't matter what anyone else does to you. It doesn't matter what somebody might try to do to take something away from you. It doesn't matter how they might, what machinations they might use to try to bring you down, harm you, cause you to lose your job, disrupt your marriage, bring people against you. None of those things matter. It matters not at all. If your trust is in God, then you know that he's going to bring about righteousness. If your focus is on him, then you know he's going to bring about justice and righteousness. And he always does. He always does. If you stand in the power of the word, then justice and righteousness will always come. Lies will be exposed for lies, and the truth will be demonstrated. But if Satan can get you to hate that individual, if he can get you to despise and be angry against that person that is trying to harm you, he's got you off your game. He's got you off focus. He's got you so that you can't operate in that kind of faith because you can't operate in that kind of love. So how do you love that person that's against you? Well, the first thing is start praying for them. I remember there was a person that used to work for me. This is years and years and years ago, and it's not at this radio station, so don't try to apply any names here. This is at a different radio station altogether. And there was a person that would just seem to be contrary in everything. Every day, there would be tension. Every day, there would be battles. Every day, there would be conflict. And it always centered around this one person. It was this one person and someone else. And it was sometimes different people, but it was always the common denominator. It was always this one person. And day after day, there was always conflicts. There was always drama. There was always anger. There was just all that. And I remember people being so frustrated and wanted that person gone and removed. And I said, hey, listen, you know what? Our first job and our first responsibility is to love that person. And I'll tell you what, I was very angry. I didn't want that. Actually, it was before I was a station manager, and I told the manager, I want that person gone. That person needs to be gone. But then it came to revelation. That person was not my adversary. And you know what? When I could see the misery that person was in, it takes a lot of misery in your own life to pour out that kind of misery into the lives of those around you. You've got to be pretty unhappy in your own life to have that much unhappiness that you can pour it out amongst so many other people. It's a reflection. The unhappiness and the drama and the stress and the anger and the fighting that you produce is just merely a reflection of what's taking place inside your own soul. And when I realize that, I realized how miserable that person really was. How unhappy that person truly was. Rather than being mad, I actually had pity on them. I actually felt bad for them and pitied them for being such an unhappy person. And I thought, wow, I only have to put up with their unhappiness just for, you know, maybe an hour a day. They have that kind of unhappiness everywhere they go because they're taking it with them. And it touches everyone. So they're always unhappy and they're always in conflict. What a miserable way to live your life. And I felt pity for them. And it changed my attitude. And before, where I never prayed for that person, I didn't want to think about it. To be honest, I didn't want to think about that person when I was not in that person's presence. I just didn't want to deal with them. But then I started to pray for that person because I empathized with how unhappy they were. I could understand it, and I felt bad for them. And I wouldn't want that on anybody. And it changed my whole attitude. I was able to love that person, even though that person still tried to hurt me, still tried to bring conflict all throughout. I still loved that person. This is the true measure of our faith. When you can understand that the person that you look at as your adversary, the person that you look at, and that, I'm sure it's real. I'm not saying it's unreal that those individuals are not trying to bring harm to you. That's a real thing. There are people that want to harm you. There are people that just for whatever their reasons either don't like us, don't like you, don't like me. and want to see bad things come upon us. That's real. But it comes not from them. They're merely pawns. Those thoughts, those evil inclinations, that proclivity to do things that bring harm to others, it doesn't generate from them. It generates from the evil one. They are merely pawns. When you realize that and you see how miserable they are being used as pawns, even though they don't see, but their lives are miserable, it makes you have empathy for them. And it brings you to a place where you can, because you would never want to be that miserable, you feel sorry for them, where you can pray for them, where you can lift them up, where you can genuinely pray and break those strongholds that are holding their lives in check and are holding them into a fruitless existence, and in some cases holding them away from the awareness of Jesus Christ and all the glory that comes with Jesus Christ. Man, I wanted to go in a lot of different places today, and we didn't get very far, but know this. I'm going to read that again. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible, verse number 18. Little children, let us not love merely in theory or in speech, but in deed and in truth. That means to love in practice and in sincerity. The more we practice Christ-like love today, the more we practice that sincerely, loving those that are around us, loving the people in your life that are truly unlovable, the more we practice that love, the more it demonstrates the strength of our faith, the growing in our faith in our own lives. The test of our faith truly is, according to 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, it truly is the ability that we have to love and to allow that Christ-like love to move through us. Father, we thank you for your love.